Today is May 22nd, and we're continuing the mitzvah of eating matzah. We're on source sheet number 23. I didn't write it on the sheet, but it is number 23. And I do want to just quickly, orally, review what we had till now, and that is basically we had five different approaches and ideas behind the mitzvah of eating matzah. The first one is that it reminds us of the anius, of the bitterness, of the servitude of Mitzrayim. And as we say, halach ma'anya, this is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim. So it reminds us of the affliction. The other one is like the Pasuk says, shalei hisbik b'tzeikas, actually the Mishnah, the dough wasn't given a chance to rise. And that's a symbol of freedom. And we talked about that at length as to whether that is a contradiction or not. Are we remembering the servitude or remembering the freedom? We had the idea that the Ramban alluded to and was expounded upon by the Maral, and that is that the truth is that matzah itself, lechem oni, bread of poor man's bread, is the opposite of matzah ashira, of what we call rich bread, and that's bread that has other things mixed in. Today we have like egg matzah or fruit juice mixed into the matzah that would be called matzah ashira. So the matzah that we're talking about is lechem oni because it's a reflection of the fact that there's nothing else mixed in. And in order to explain that, I'll skip that just for a moment. I'll get back to that in a moment to explain that a little further in depth. The fourth thing that we saw was an idea from the Sefer Tiferes Yisrael and the Mishnayos and the Yochanan Ubayas, and there he speaks about the fact that since Hashem hastened our redemption, so too we eat a bread that is less subject to time for its creation. And and the fifth idea we had was from the Maral and an explanation from the Siach Yitzchak, and that is that it's a reflection of the fact that we left not under the jurisdiction of time. We left in everything in this world that is physical, to quote the words of the Siach Yitzchak, b'li brias hazman, without the creation of time itself, lo'yeyem etzias klal, nothing would exist. So you have to speak to the physicists. I'm sure they have all sorts of formulas and theories like that. Excuse me. Hope they can scrub that from the recording. Thank you. So again, the concept of time, before time, without time, nothing else could continue to exist. So everything within the physical and materialistic world really is within the bubble of time, within the context of time. And the Maral says, we left b'madrega she'ein bozman. We were so connected to Hashem that we were sort of above time. Till this very day, if you watch the schedules of Jewish people, you'll see that people live up to that. The Jewish people, weddings always start hours late, and you know what the Chassidim say? It's unbelievable. You know how the greatest sin the Jewish people are still suffering from today, the greatest sin as Jewish people, was the golden calf, yes? How did the golden calf happen? Because the Jewish people were early. Am I right? According to the calculation. So the Chassidim say that the kapara, the atonement for the future, is that no Jew should ever be on time. That's what they... Michael, you didn't... Yeah. Okay.
And we've elevated it to an art
form. Yes. In fact, I always say that there are people in Eretz Yisrael that when they... sometimes there's like a mixed marriage. You have a chassid marrying a litvak, or even a yeki is even worse, right? So it should be like for the chassidim, they're always 3-4 hours late, and for the litvaks, or the yekis, they're always exactly on time. So sometimes they'll actually print two different invitations and send one to the Chassid's family, one to the Kallah's family, and print two different starting times. And this way they'll both end up there at the same time. They actually do that. They actually really do that. Okay. So anyway, that was a beautiful idea that we left Lamailam and Azman above time. We weren't subject to the physical norms of the world. And that you see when we lived through what we lived through in the Midbar, we were eating a bread of Amun that was something totally spiritual, had no waste product. Our clothing grew with us and was washed with us, and we were living a very, very spiritual existence that was above time. Okay, so that was another idea. Just getting back to idea number three, which was that that matzah represents a very basic food. It doesn't have other things mixed in, and that is because, as the Maharal explained, the real truth is that in order to truly be free, to be a totally free, you have to have an element of anius, of being poor, which means you have to divest yourself of certain things. You have people who are who tramp around the country with absolutely nothing but a little sack on their stick, you know. Those kind of people, if you ask them why they do it, obviously they're taking it to a far extreme, but they say, well, so they get a certain sense of freedom, a certain sense of relief. There is something to that, you know. As men, we could appreciate that. We sometimes need time, you know, just for us, like just all the responsibilities that we have, everything that just, you know, not chas shalom in a frivolous way, but to relax, to air out your mind, you need some downtime. You know, you need time away by yourself, you know. That's because in order to truly be free, to be truly free, you have to have a certain element of releasing some of the things that you own, some of the things that you are usually connected to. Marba nachas and marba daiga, the more things you own, the more worries you have. You're now somewhat subservient. I remember I was in Lakewood when I first got to Lakewood. So they had just installed a voicemail system, not for the offices, actually for the students. And what you would do is you would rent a voicemail box. Like, no one had cell phones. It was pre-cell phone day. Sorry about that. I'm dating myself here, but actually I dated when I was there. But yeah. So you would rent this Michal like that one. So you would rent this voicemail box and they installed certain phones around the yeshiva that had one dedicated phone number that you would pick it up and it would automatically dial that main system, and then you would dial in your voicemail box. Like today it's useless because everybody has a cell phone, but you dial your phone number and whatever. So you would see, like at the end of Seder, all the boys used to come out of Seder, and of course they wanted to pick up their messages, so there would be a line by the phones waiting to... So one guy walked over to me, he saw me waiting in line, so he said to me, oh, you bought a master for yourself as well? Like, now you're a slave. What is it? Before today, you got a message, you didn't get a message. So what's better? Is it better to have a voicemail or not? Sometimes with a voicemail, you could save yourself a tremendous amount of worry and time and effort and money, who knows what, right? On the other hand, you've created for yourself now a new responsibility, a new need that you have to hear your messages, because otherwise maybe you're missing, right? So both elements are right, both factors are right. What the Maharal is saying is that truly, in order to be fully, fully free, you really have to have a certain degree of detachment from other things. And therefore, the matzah, we want to symbolize freedom, we want to commemorate and relive freedom, we have to do that with a food that is, at its very essence, is the most basic of foods, that doesn't need other things mixed into it in order to be what it is. Okay. Okay, so that was the idea that we had, the five ideas that we had in the past. Okay, now on page 23 that I just handed out, we have a the first item is a marsha. So the marsha begins by asking a question. He says like this: Matzazu al shumma al shum shali hisbig b'tzeka shalav yisayin lahachmis. These are words that we say in the Haggadah. Some have this version in the Mishnah, right? Because it didn't rise. So again, if we take that idea that the matzah didn't rise, therefore we eat matzah today, yes? So he says like this: Kachu b'seder Haggadah u'ba'ashri. So it is in the Rush, in the version in the Mishnah. Fine. So he asks like this. I'm by the underline, second line. Lefi tam zeh, according to this reason, that's why we eat matzah. Let's think for a minute. We should have this mitzvah when? Not during the Seder. As soon as it hits chatzais, as soon as it hits midnight, that's when we should eat the matzah. Why? Because what are we commemorating? We're not commemorating, like we said earlier, lechem ayini, because diachalav asana ba'ar the Mitzrayim, that our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim. The reason is, for what reason? It didn't have time to rise. When did that happen? When we left Mitzrayim, not when we were in Mitzrayim. Yes? He's bothered by the same contradiction that we keep on bringing up. Well, we had several approaches to explain the contradiction, but he's bothered by this. What's going on? If it's to commemorate the freedoms, and then we should eat it only after Chatzais HaLayla, She'oz Yatzu Mitzrayim. That's when we left Mitzrayim, in Iskayim V'yofas HaBotzak, that's when it happened. He says, not only that, Gam bePesach she'ochlu b'Mitzrayim, lama ochlu ma'oz matzah. In Pesach Mitzrayim, when we were in Mitzrayim eating the Korban Pesach, why did we eat with matzah? It says, al matzah simurayim yechluhu. What was the purpose of eating it with matzah? Ein svara she'ochlu al shema osid. Does it make sense to say that they ate it because of what was gonna happen? It didn't happen yet. So then obviously he's alluding to the fact that, well, then obviously there is something maybe to the other idea of diachol avasanabar de Mitzrayim, that this was lechem ayini, that this was bread of affliction. Again, he's struggling with the same contradiction that we had till now. And so he says like this, v'yesh leimar. Listen clearly to what he says. Not everybody agrees with this, but listen to what he says. The vaday iser chametz, the prohibition of chametz, kol zayin humitam v'yofas habotzek. The prohibition of eating chametz is because it didn't rise. Avol mitzvas achilas matzah be'erev, but the mitzvah of eating achilas matzah, that's for a different reason. And that's like by the Karban Mincha, it says, Matzah is teichel b'makayim kadosh. You shall eat your matzah in a place of kedusha. And what is that? You shall eat your matzah in a place of kedusha, which means you shall be, if you interpret it in this way, not the literal translation, obviously, but that when you eat the matzah, you shall be in a place of kedusha. You shall be within the context of kedusha. Why is that? So he brings up the basic idea. That chametz is a remez to the sitra, the smala. Chametz is a reminder of the symbolic of the yetzahara. Like it says by mincha, kol se'ar v'chol dvash le'saktiru. We don't put any se'ar, we don't put any chametz, we don't put any leavened product on the mizbeach itself, because it's representative of the yetzahara. Like we, and here he quotes the Gemara that we saw from Brachas, Mima Akiv, Sa'ar Shabisa. Rabbi Alexandri said, right? He used to daven to, he used to say to Hashem, we really want to do your will, but what can we do? Who's stopping us, right? And therefore he says, that's what it means when it says, Matzah is Teicha B'makam Kodesh, Dahainu Miteich HaKedusha V'Sidra D'Yamina. Eating matzah means that we're trying to engage in an activity that brings about, that encourages, that inspires Kedusha. Chametz will represent the Yetzirah that we have spoken about in the past. And now he has a new thing now, that matzah positively is not a just a vacuum, there is no chametz. Matzah is a positive commemoration of kedusha of the Yetzer Tov. So here, what's going on? The whole reason, and it's interesting that he says this because really it's one of the versions of the Mishnah. Matzah zu. Listen to these words carefully. Matzah zu she'anu oichlim al shuma. This matzah that we eat is because of what? For what purpose? Because our forefathers' dough didn't rise. So he asks all his questions. So his answer is, refraining from eating matzah, that's because it didn't rise. Why do we eat matzah? So refraining from eating chametz is because it didn't rise. But why do we eat matzah positively? That's for a different reason. So we should be within the framework of Kedusha. So we should be encouraged to have Kedusha.
Kedusha wouldn't last the whole week of Pesach?
One minute. So, but the first question I have on this Marsha is, what's going on here? The words of the Mishnah, according to that version, and certainly that's what we have in the Gemara, in the Haggadah, regardless, is that the reason why we're eating it is because of? You know, I over this past Pesach, I was developing an idea based on this contradiction, this confusion here of what is matzah? Is matzah to celebrate freedom? Is it to celebrate? So I wanted to say, based on the words of the Mishnah, based on the words of the Haggadah, that achilas matzah, the achilas matzah, the eating of the matzah, this is totally not like what the Marsha just said. I'm just saying this to contrast. The eating of the matzah is specifically like the words say, to remember the fact that we, the freedom. But there's another element to matzah. He speaks about a different element and he switches them around, a different thing. There's another element to achilas matzah. What's the other element to achilas matzah? Lechem oini, she'oinin alav dvarim harbe. That we recite over it many different things. So we'll get to that a little later. But we proclaim many things over the matzah. What do we proclaim over the matzah? We say the story of, right? You know that if you notice this, by the Seder, every time we start to say over part of the story, what do? We uncover the matzahs. The only time we cover them is when we're picking up the coast, it shouldn't be degraded, etc. But essentially, when we say over Magid, when we say over the story of the Haggadah, what do? We uncover the matzahs. Why? Because it's lechem oni. It's lechem she'oinin olav dvarim harba, that we proclaim many things. We say over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, etc. So that was my theory that I was working on this past Pesach. I still haven't developed it fully. But basically, the achila, the eating of the matzah, is to commemorate the fact that we left and it didn't rise, etc. And that's the words of the Mishnah. Matzah zu she'anu oichlim al shuma. Why do we eat it? Because of this reason. You want to know about commemorating the slavery that we had? That's the other issue of what we proclaim over the matzah. It's a total different idea. So if you want to know, if somebody asks you, what's the reason behind, Rabbi Zephron gave a shiur about the reason behind the mitzvah of matzah, besides the other things that he said, but if you really want to know, what is the idea of matzah? Well, which element of matzah? There's so many different elements. In fact, that was the line, right? What did it say? Matzah is not flat after all, right? Revealing further dimensions in mitzvah's matzah. There's so many different elements to mitzvah's matzah. These puns are getting at him. There's so many different levels and dimensions to matzah. But one, the two that I was suggesting, I have no backing for this to know for sure, that to be able to split it up in that way, that the eating of the matzah is for this reason, and the proclaiming over the matzah is for that reason. But what do we proclaim over the matzah? If you look at those. If you look at those words that we proclaim in the Haggadah, most of it is retelling the story of our slavery. So you want to know, oh, there's a contradiction. Are we remembering the slavery? The achol av ason ad ba'ar de Mitzrayim, that's what our forefathers ate? Yeah, that's true. That's for the proclamations that we make over the matzah. But as far as the eating of the matzah, why is there a mitzvah of eating the matzah? That is for That is for to commemorate what happened in the future. The only, not the only, the problem that one would have with such an approach is what the Marsha is saying. The Marsha is saying, Zephyr, what are you talking about? If, in fact, the eating of the matzah is there to commemorate what happened when we left Mitzrayim, so what are you eating it beforehand? Eat it after Chatzos. Now, if anybody's been at the Zephyrin table, they know that we probably don't get to the Achilas Matzah anyway until Chatzos, but that's a different story. No, I'm just kidding about that. We try to make the Afikoman. But the regular eating of the matzah should take, that's the Marsha's big question. Number one, we should eat it after Chatzos. Number two, in Mitzrayim, what business did they have eating matzah? So the truth is that according to my approach, I don't want to get too technical here, but according to my approach, you could really answer the Marsha's second question. Marsha's second question is why in Mitzrayim did they eat matzah beforehand? Is because there's two parts to matzah. One of them is to remember, they're both right. Right? They're both right. But the way the Marsha is splitting it up is basically he's saying, not like what I said at all. He's saying that the eating of the matzah, I don't know how this jives with the words of the Mishnah, but the eating of the matzah is the refraining from chametz is because of what happened as we left. But the eating of the matzah, that is to commemorate, not to commemorate, but to this other idea of matzah, which is not even mentioned outright in the Mishnah or those other materials, but rather this concept that we find by Karbonas, by the Mincha, that like ideas that we mentioned extensively when we dealt with the mitzvah of chametz, was that chametz represents the Yetzer Hara. Well, in that same vein, we did allude to this on our last statement about chametz. We didn't focus so much. We've focused a lot on the fact that chametz represents the Yetzer Hara. We didn't focus so much on the fact that matzah represents Yetzer Tov and the Kedusha side of things. We did mention it, by the way, at the end, when we mentioned a Zohar. Do you remember? I don't know if you remember this, in passing all the way to the end, we mentioned a Zohar that says that the reason why we don't eat chametz is because we want to emphasize the special, great food called matzah, which has tremendous qualities to it. Michlad Azvasa, it's a medicinal, therapeutic food. It's called in the Gemara all sorts of other things. Memnusa, it's called Nahama de Memnusa, the food of Emunah. So there's so many positive things about the matzah that we just don't eat chametz, so that we should emphasize matzah.
That can explain the thing on the Aser. If we're doing it tonight on the Aser at midnight, this is going to happen. Well, it's Memnusa. They were told it was going to happen. So they're eating it a few hours before with the faith that this is what's going to happen.
Excellent. And they were doing it b'chipaz, and they were waiting. Masnechem, Chagurim, they were in anticipation of what was going to happen. Excellent. It's a beautiful idea. You hear what he's saying? Beautiful idea. I mentioned that job of the, I think I mentioned this, those truck drivers that drive over the ice in Alaska. I once read an article about it. They drive over the ice. The ice is, you know, thick, but they're never really sure if they're totally going to survive. So they drive with one, the door is slightly ajar, and they're holding one hand on the door, one end of the steering, one end of the door, and as soon as they feel the slightest break, they don't want to be trapped in the truck, so they jump out if they need to. So, you know, in a sense, I always picture that image when we're at the Seder, you know, like we were sitting there, we were having a whole meal and everything, but we were like, at a moment's notice, you know, the Rebbe Shlomo was going to say, time has come, let's go, you know, and we jump out. So that's what Michal is saying. It's a beautiful thing that you could answer why they did eat it after Chatzais, why they ate it before, even though it only happened after Chatzais, because in anticipation of that and in full belief that that was going to happen, so to commemorate that. But again, we see here a stress on the positive side that matzah is representative of Kedusha and is representative of holiness. So I want to end off with a little bit of a riddle, a little bit of a puzzle that I need your help with. Look what the Marsha ends off with. He says like this. V'leil shimurim, second to last line, towards the beginning of the line. V'leil shimurim hu min amazikin. This night is a night of, we know that the night of Pesach is called Leil Shimurim, the night of protection. It is Shimurim in Hamazik, and we are protected from the destructive angels, Visitra Dismala, as we understand. So we're eating matzah, which is a strengthening of the element of Kedusha, of holiness, and of the right side, and good things, and constructive forces, and that's why we're lihidave b'kedusha. We cling to the kedusha side of things because there's a very strong weakening of the element of evil and destruction on that night. That's why it's called Leil Shimurim. The haremez bazeh. What is the remez? What is the hint to this? Milas matzah u'milas chametz. If you analyze the word matzah and the letters that comprise the word matzah, and you analyze the letters of the word that comprises chametz, you'll notice that two out of three letters are identical, right? Correct? Mem and tzadi are identical. And there's only one letter that's different, but the letter in one is shehem shavim, but you say it's mem tzadi. They're similar with the letters mem tzadi. El sheyesh bohem chiluf ches, the chametz, taras hei de matzah. The word chametz has a ches, and matzah has a hey. So what is the difference between the construct, actually the form, of the letters that are used to write one word versus the letters used to write the other word? One little tiny connector, one little tiny line. And this is a hint to the fact that there's a struggle between the two sides. Now, why is it, the question I have is, why is it, if you had to commemorate a struggle between the two sides, why wouldn't you emphasize the distance, the furthest, the most extreme distance between the two sides, rather than make them so close in letters? You know, make the letters as opposite and as far from each other as possible, as dissimilar as possible from each other, to say this is the right side and Lahavdol, this is the left side, and they have no... They're so far from each other. No. Hashem says, I'm going to write the word chametz, ches, mem, tzadi, the only difference, and matzah, mem, tzadi, hey, the only difference is one little tiny line. What's the Marsha saying? I leave you with this question, and I'm open to wonderful suggestions on the part of the participants of the shir. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow, Bezus Hashem.